Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just like the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling. Like, you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight I'm joined by Mark, and Mark had some very unusual activity happen to him when he was 12 years old that kind of led him down a path of paranormal experiences. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, Cade. Nice to be on.
Mate, it's good to have you on. We'll say in a little bit earlier before we hit record, it's been a mammoth effort to get this one lined up.
But yeah,
we got there in the end. So
We did. Yeah, there's a few stops and starts, but yeah.
That's how it goes, and I'm always excited, mate. So I'm excited because these types of when the universe gets in the way of an episode like this, it usually means it's a pretty good one. So,
man, yeah,
no pressure, but tell
me. But hopefully I can live up to the expectations.
The weight of the universe is on your shoulders, mate. So take me back to where this all happened, because this actually happened essentially, when I say down the road, it's a little bit of a drive down the road from me, but it happened in Townsville. So,
yes,
mate, yeah, run me through this.
Well, I had moved from Sydney when I was about 8 up into Townsville, and I believe you're in Cairns. So, you know, back then Townsville, there wasn't much about, you know. We lived in Kirwan at the time, which is one of the last suburbs, you know, at that time. It's not anymore, I don't think, you know. And I used to go to Kirwan Primary, which was like this, the primary school there. And this is like, you know, I'm 53 now, so this was like about 78 or something like that, you know, and it was a couple of Ks kind of past the Kirwan suburb, so it was actually basically in the middle of bushland. And, you know, you to walk, or, you know, if you rode your bicycle home, there was areas where it was just all bushland until you got to, like, the shopping centre, you know. So, and just this one particular day, I'm just this kid, and we'd just, you know, we'd finished, I think it was like something like a after school rugby practice or something, and I'm walking home with this friend of mine. I always remember his name, Trevor O'Neill, his name was, and he's walking, and I'm like wheeling my bike, you know, because that afternoon at school, they'd been talking about stranger danger, which was a big thing back then, you know. And we're actually talking about it, and this is the weird thing as well, like, this, it's just strange. We're actually talking about this stranger danger right at that moment. We're kind of walking along, you know, it's all bushland, you know, we're like still a couple of Ks from sort of civilization, so to speak, you know. And just out of nowhere, didn't hear it arrive, was this, my memory of it was that it was this white van, and this it just was suddenly on us. And after that, it gets very hazy. Like, I remember just being completely and absolutely in complete terror, you know, like, and my memory of this is that I kind of found myself, say, it was kind of getting towards sunset, and this, you know, that was at the time, I didn't, you know, I'm only young, so I didn't really think of it, you know. Trevor's nowhere to be seen, you know, like, and I'm sort of down the street a bit further, like, and at that time, like, I remember, like, I waited for Trevor and he came out of the bushes and he was kind of like smiling, and it was weird, like, even though it was supposed to be this, like, you know, it was this really terrifying experience of a stranger abducting us, or that's what we thought, like, you know, and the fact that, you know, the fact that at the time, you know, that it was, they were talking, you know, we were talking about stranger danger, and then suddenly it kind of happens to us, if you know what I mean, like, which was bizarre, you know, like, but we didn't think of that because at the time, you know, and then after that, like, literally days later, I just, my memory is I just, there's some UFO book turned up at the school, and I just was, yeah, from then on, I just was absolutely, couldn't get enough of it, sort of, so to speak, you know, like, and it wasn't actually until years later that it kind of came out, but that's kind of another story. I don't know if you want to hear that now, but, you know.
Mate, absolutely.
It just, it, well, with this encounter at 12, so what ended up happening is years later, started to, this, you know, like, started to feel watched and all this, and this is connected with this house that I moved into and that, but I did actually end up going to, I don't know if you ever heard of her, but her name's Mary Rodwell.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, and Mary, so I went up to, she lives just kind of, it's like near the town of Severn, Agnes Waters, right? So she lives in Queensland, like, you know, and she's one of the world's most, you know, leading UFO abduction researchers.
Especially when it comes to regression therapy.
Yes, exactly. And that was that first thing that had bothered me when I was a kid, you know, like, under. And she, one of the first things she was saying to me, she said, you are aware that one of the so-called screen memories with the whole UFO abduction thing is a white van, you know, and I wasn't aware of that actually at all. And I was like, oh, you know, and I said, what? And she said, well, that's what people, it's just the whole encounter is just so terrifying that, you know, for humans to kind of handle it, you know, we're given kind of screen memories and that. I'm sure you might have heard of that before. So under hypnosis, and I've actually got the recording of it, that it turned out that, you know, this, it wasn't a white van, like, because it was strange at the time. I do remember, you know, when I was doing the regression with her, I'm saying to her, like, she said, well, did you hear it arrive? And I went, no, it was just suddenly there. Like, and she was saying, you know, the whole thing about us, like, talking about strange danger, and then suddenly it's like this kind of what they call synchronicity that happens in these kind of this phenomenon, which is, you know, and it's a bizarre phenomenon, you know, there's so many facets to it. And so it ended up, it wasn't a van at all, like, and when I was under the regression, I was before I'd actually moved to Townsville, even, I used to have these recurring dreams, and I even had a name for these people, and these people used to come and get me, and I used to call them the busybodies. And the reason I call them the busybodies, it sounds crazy, but I call them the busybodies because they were just always up in my business, like even as a kid, you know, like it's weird. I even had a name for them, you know, like, and sure enough, under the hypnosis of that, I'm like, it's this kind of, it's like, it's hard to describe. It's like the realization, it's like real, it's like something like from some movie or something, you know, like the reality that kind of hit me. It was kind of like this, the facade of our reality just kind of just everything kind of just went like, and it was just, and suddenly it was like I was what I actually happened, you know, and it wasn't a white van, it was like an actual craft, and it was these beings, but I couldn't see them, like the, there was like a I don't know if it's maybe the way, whatever, you know, they kind of let you see them if you, they can, because you just can't handle it, you know. And I'm talking about basically the greys or whatever, you know, like, so it ended up being, that encounter ended up being grey aliens. And I remember, I started to remember, and I saw them standing there, and it wasn't a white van, it was just this craft, you know. And then the only way I can describe it, it's like in my mind's eye, it was like this door just slammed shut, like just, and it's hard to describe it, even like a visualize it, just, it's like in my mind's eye, this door just shook, it just was banged shut, and it was like, you are not going any further, sort of thing, you are not remembering anymore, like, and no matter what, like Mary tried, I couldn't get past this sort of hypnotic wall or something, maybe, that, you know, like these beings or whatever they are can put to you know, can put in the minds of a human, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like a firewall or something like that.
Yeah,
just
basically,
within your mind.
Yeah, it was just really bizarre. And and then, you know, like, I mean, when I lived back in Townsville a few times, I'd go back and visit my parents. And I remember one time, like, I would have been about 23. And I'm still doing, I just voraciously read, you know, about UFO stuff and, you know, the whole paranormal thing, you know, like, I mean, you know, the whole thing with the UFO phenomenon, you've got to be careful because you can go down rabbit holes, you know, like, and there's, you know, there can be people out there that are, you know, you can make money and that, but there is, you know, it is a real phenomenon, like, and I mean, people are starting to see, it's all sort of coming out now, you know. But yeah, when I was in my early 20s and I just like woke up one morning and, it was about 2 a.m. and the house was all dark, and I just woke up and I walked out into my parents' dining room, and standing there in front of me is this spindly figure, you know, like the classic sort of really, you know, long, skinny limbs, really long fingers, like, and I remember I'm trying to look at its face, and it was the same thing. Like, it was weird. You could see its body, but its face was kind of like, you couldn't see it. It was like it had in shadow or something, you know, like, and Mary had since told me that's, yeah, completely deliberate. And then this being, like, kind of like just walked straight up, and it's making this really weird kind of throaty sort of noise. And it just kind of grabs me by kind of my upper forearms and just puts me up against the wall, like, and I'm completely paralyzed. I can't move, and it's holding me, but didn't feel like it was holding me tight, but I still can't move. And then it's literally, it just starts like pressing its hands on my face and like, you know, like just kind of touching me on my face. And then that was kind of bizarre and terrible. It was weird, like it was scary, but it was, there was also this calmness that had come over me, you know. And then the next thing, I found myself back in bed, you know. And so, you know, with stuff like that happens, you kind of think, was it a dream? Even though it felt very real, you know, like at the time, you're just like, oh, you know, maybe, you know. I mean, it's just, it's so far out of our humans' understanding of our reality around us that it's just, it can be hard to accept, you know, like. And does that make sense?
You know, the thing is, when it comes to this kind of phenomenon, there is just, like you said, there is absolutely so many rabbit holes that you can go down. And, you know, I've even heard stories of beings taking human consciousness away and, you know, putting them on I think slave planets. I think this was actually an episode of the Confessionals podcast where someone said that they had their consciousness taken from them when they were a child for 20 years and they came back into their own body. 20 years had passed for that consciousness, but not for them.
Yeah, I've heard stuff like that. Like, yeah, the thing is with this phenomenon, it is so, there's such a high strangeness to it. And it's just, yeah, once you find out that they can pretty much do anything they want, really. Like, the technology is so far in advance of what we have that it's indistinguishable from magic.
I would 100% believe that. And, you know, that's really just how technology has worked throughout the entire human race is that, you know, if we took something that we have right now and something, you know, simply so basic of, let's say, one of our phones, and showed that to someone from the medieval times, that we could take a picture, it has a torch on it, it does all these amazing things, you know, they would think that would be, you know, witchcraft or something like that.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So, like, this kind of, the, you know, there's these kind of things happen. So that happened in my mid-20s. You know, but life goes on and, you know, I always had an interest in it.
Well, mate, before we continue on with the other stuff that happens in your life, I have to ask about your friend Trevor, because he seemed to be there throughout this entire experience. What was, like, did you ever talk to him about this? And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
I never did. That's the weird thing. And it's like, and when I was talking to Mary about this, she's just going, yep, yep. And I remember one of the first things she said to me was like, when this van that came up, which direction did it come from, you know? And, you know, and I just said, it came up behind us. And, you know, later on she said, that's a common thing, you know. There's some little, like, when with you, with these researchers, there's little things they hold back, you know, that are kind of like common things that people describe that happened to them, that, you know, and if they say that, you know, they go, oh, okay, that fits in with our data, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Like, there's a common, you know, thread throughout it all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But with Trevor, no, like, I mean, I can remember Mary saying, so you were waiting for him. And I said, yeah, I was waiting for him. And he came out at the bushes. And she said, oh, well, he must have, you know, like, well, what was he like? And I said, oh, he was like actually smiling and that. And she said to me, do you think that's strange, Mark, that he was smiling and he wasn't upset? And, you know, because for all intents and purposes, you could have been abducted by some, you know, stranger, you know. And yeah, that did strike me, you know, like, but when you're that age, you don't, you know, you don't really realize, you know, like.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this is the late 70s. This isn't a thing that people talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I said, back then, like, the outskirts of Townsville, there really wasn't that much about, you know. And, you know, there's things, as I said, throughout my life that I mean, when you were talking about that, I can remember not long after that, and it only seemed like a couple of weeks later, I was riding a bike around the shopping centre, which was sort of close. The bushland was right there. And I was with another friend, and I can remember his name as well, Robbie Taylor. And this man came up to us, and I remember he had blue coveralls on. That's my, you know, and he was saying something about, oh, do you want, you know, I've got some lollies or something. So, and, you know, you're thinking, oh, it's like, you know, some sort of predator, that kind of thing, you know. But my memory of it, it was really dreamlike sort of thing. And I kept, but my main memory of this man, in inverted commas, was that it was his eyes. Like, I just could never forget about his eyes. And, you know, once again, that's the last thing I remember, you know, like. But I've never, I mean, I want to go back to Mary again one day, but the fear involved in it is so intense.
You're reliving every situation that is, you know, your mind has either hidden it from you because it's so traumatic, or, you know, whatever these things are, have decided, hey, this is probably a little too much.
Yeah. Either they have done it deliberately, or your mind is protecting itself. Because, yeah, it's just so far out of our understanding.
Yeah, you know? No, absolutely, definitely.
But no, Trevor, I just remember we just didn't even seem very bothered after it, you know, like, and I never spoke to him about it. And this is another weird thing that I have actually read in other, you know, people that have had this, you know, this occur to them. We were really good friends. After that, we just never saw each other, like, again, like, you never really spoke to each other, and it was just, yeah, it was weird, and I never knew what happened to him, even though I'd love to. I mean, I even, like, a couple of years ago, tried to look up his name on Facebook and see, you know, and if I could have found him, I was going to ask him, but not, don't know what happened to him.
You know, you'll be surprised at how often that type of scenario comes up when people have had experiences like this. And, you know, it's not just, like, really related to just UFOs, but, you know, the paranormal, yowies, you know, just things that are quite, it's unexplainable.
Yeah.
They almost seem to fracture these people's lives so much that they are just unable to connect with the person that they were with in that moment, because, you know, that person would always be that anchor to what happened there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's very strange, you know. And then I can, you know, as I'm talking to you, and I can remember another, you know, like, I can remember another strange thing where I was with one of, like, my best friend that I still know him today. You know, he lives in Taiwan nowadays, but we were sitting on our back wall, and the wall, like, was a fence between my parents' house and the neighbors, and it was kind of a large brick wall, you know, and it was probably about 6 feet high, but to kids, you know, that's really high, you know, so we used to climb up and sit on it. And I can remember being younger and us sitting there and a UFO hovering above us. And that was my memory. Once again, it's kind of hazy. And I asked John about it a couple of years ago, and I said, did that happen? Am I making that up? And he said, no, that happened. And he said, but his memory of it was that it was like these weird lights in the sky, like, you know, and but my memory of it was that it was way closer and it was actually a craft, you know, like typical sort of flying saucer, you know.
It's surreal because it sounds like they are, whatever they may be, it's almost like they're coming back to you throughout your life and just keeping tabs on you.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, like it seems to be a common thing, you know. But, I mean, I never, even though I, you know, I had this interest in it, you know, I would, you know, I just never kind of went there really, apart from just reading about it and thinking, these are odd things that happened to me, but, you know, like I never looked on myself as being someone that was possibly an abductee or what have you, you know, like until, you know, about 5 or 6 years ago.
I have to ask you, earlier you spoke about a person in blue overalls. And
yes.
It sounded like you were hinting that there was even missing time associated with that.
Yes. Well, you know, I mean, obviously I read, you know, reading later that was a common thing that people said as well, that these beings, like they were kind of in some sort of one piece blue coveralls or something, you know, like, so yeah, that was another one where it was, there was possible missing time as well, but it was even more dreamlike, you know, so I think they kind of bank on that it's, you know, it's even could be the you know, like what you were saying earlier, that they can take you to, you know, they can do whatever they like. They can take your consciousness. They can take you physically. And so it just can become very dreamlike, you know, like.
It would be hard to separate what's real and what's not. And that would be incredibly frustrating for someone like yourself who, you know, is unsure of, like, did this happen? Did this not happen?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Whereas, you know, I mean, you do read of other accounts where people have, you know, can remember consciously, you know, like, I mean, I could never remember consciously until, you know, like later. But I think, you know, it was really after seeing Mary and I think, you know, as we've said, there's a big reason for it, because it's just, it can be just so terrifying. And if you can get through the fear, it's amazing. Like, but you've got to get through that fear, and that's easier said than done.
Have you had many other encounters with, I guess, this UFO phenomenon? Because, you know, it kind of sounds like you have quite a few different touch points, and it's even to the point where you're having these encounters with other people around. Like, how does it affect them?
I think people, yeah, I mean, I didn't really talk about it with people, you know, like, I mean, I have friends and that knew I had an interest in that, and I think it's only in the last couple of years or 5 or 6 years that, you know, just because of the stigma involved is starting to kind of, you know, evaporate, you know, like, and I've always found it strange that, for instance, you know, that you had people that go, oh yeah, I believe that there's UFOs, you know, in quotation marks, as in they're flying around or whatever, but you'd get people that could believe in that, but they couldn't believe that there was the abduction thing or something. You know, I mean, there's obviously a reason they're here, and they're not just flying around in the sky or under the oceans. They're interacting with us.
That's a really good point of view that you kind of put there, is the fact that, you know, like, you did have this encounter way back in the late 70s there, where it would have felt so, and I don't mean to make a pun here, but so alienated with this type of experience. Like, you couldn't have really spoken about it to anyone.
No, especially not back then. But, I mean, it even, you know, like, yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, it took a long time. I mean, I always could speak about it to close friends and that, but you know, it's not, it wasn't until I did the kind of regression that I really realized that something had happened. And and you know, then about 6 years ago, kind of, it, you know, everything kind of exploded for about 6 months or so.
So what was the catalyst for you to decide to go get regression therapy? Like, was it just something that was eating you up inside and you just...
It was because I'd moved into this house at Tweed Heads with my ex-partner, Caroline, who tragically she passed away and that, like... But yeah, it was after I'd moved in with her to this house and things begin to start to happen that where you just couldn't ignore it, and that was when I actually, after a couple of months, went, right, I've got to find out what the hell's going on, and that's when I went and saw Mary.
So you think the things that were going on in your house were connected to the previous UFO contacts that you've had?
Yeah.
So what was going on in the house?
Well, we'd moved into this place at Tweed Heads, and it's interesting, the guy that used to live there was a grandfather that passed away, and he was a really, really interesting dude that he had like books on you know, remote viewing and that, which I found really, really interesting, you know. But it was the classic thing, like we just first moved in and, you know, there wasn't, the first thing that sort of happened, you know, was, you know, the TV started to turn on by itself, you know, like at odd times. But you're thinking at the time, you know, it just kind of started a little gradually, you know, you're thinking at the time, oh, that someone's got the same sort of remote or something, you know. But that didn't really make sense because the houses were a long way apart and, you know. So the TV would turn on by itself. The stereo, like I can remember, you know, like in the early days, you know, we're lying in bed at night and you know, it was pretty scary. Like we'd wake up and I'd be looking at Caroline and be like, can you hear that? You know, and we'd come out and the stereo is on. And, you know, of course we hadn't left it on, you know, like, and just kind of things like that technological sort of issues, like we'd hear like strange beeping noises that we couldn't figure out where they came from. And we'd think, oh, it's got to be the microwave. So we'd go over the microwave and, no, it's not the microwave. The microwave's not even on. And it's got to be the fridge. And, you know, like sort of, and then it just kind of started to amp up. So I was trying to think of the timeline of it because there's just kind of so much happened. But basically, you know, like things like, I can remember, it got so commonplace, this kind of paranormal type of stuff, that you kind of became used to it. But it was also, that had that, you know, like I'm sure you've heard people talk about that Skinwalker Ranch thing and all the kind of trickster element. Like you'd get up in the morning, you'd go to say butter your toast and you'd put your knife down for 1 second and you'd go to get it again and it's gone. You know, like, and you're like, no, like, and it just happened all the time, like, you know, and then you'd be looking around for it everywhere, and then you'd walk back, and there it is, you know, like, I always remember one of the first early things that is, I'd bought a laptop, a Mac laptop, and, I had a mouse that was paired with the Apple laptop, and I'd bought it that day. So I was in bed and like I just playing with the first day, and I just put it down beside me, with the mouse, and then woke up in the morning and the mouse was just nowhere to be seen, and we we never found it again. I mean, just you're tearing the place apart because you're thinking, you know, like, I must have got up during the night or something. It's only small. But the thing, because it was paired with the Mac, it was telling us it was in the room, but it wasn't. Like, so it was just like, it just kind of got more and more feeling of it, like nighttime started to come, and as the nighttime, I started to get this really sense of foreboding, like a really it's the only way I can describe it, a sense of foreboding, almost like a dread, like, you know. And Caroline was there, and, you know, like, she could see what was happening, and then, yeah, just during the night, I can remember, we had this iPad, and unfortunately I don't have it anymore because we filmed all these orbs on it, like, you know, and there's one footage of me, like, where I'm kind of like, Caroline was filming me in that because we played music and that, and we would like record ourselves, say, hey, we've got a new song. So she'd film it, you know, and I'd be strumming the guitar. And there's one where I'm like kind of like flicking away at my face. And then when we played it back, it was, you could see these like little, what they call orbs, like dancing in front of my face. And I couldn't see them with the naked eye. But on the footage, you could see that I'm actually like, looks like I'm, you know, I'm obviously bothered by them, like, but I just didn't even know they were there, you know. So, and it just got, so, you know, another example is, we went downstairs and we were doing some gardening, and I went to put on some dinner and that, and I had to get like some chicken, and I put it in the microwave, and then I came downstairs and just let it defrost for the afternoon, and then I'd forgotten something. I came straight back up, and this chicken is just sitting smack bang in the middle of the hallway, like just literally like a minute after, like just sitting there. And, you know, you're stunned, you know, like, and, you know, like, Caroline, we had cats. So you're thinking, is it cats? Did the cats somehow get in the microwave? And there's absolutely no way they could have done that. And it wasn't destroyed anyway. It was just sitting there still in its plastic, and there's no way they could have got into the microwave anyway, right? It was, you know, impossible for a cat to press it. But you are trying to think of rational things, if that makes
absolutely
sense,
you know? like you're trying to justify everything that's kind of going on inside that house.
And it got so crazy, like, and this is kind of just before I went and saw Mary, this table disappeared. We had like a kind of like, you know, like a side table. I'm not talking like a kitchen table, but it was a fairly big table. Like, you know, like it wasn't like a little foot table. It was big enough, and it just disappeared. We just came out and it was gone. And we searched for it for days and we couldn't find it. We were going, this is insane. Like, how can a table go? And then just about 2 weeks later, we came downstairs, and here's the table sitting on top of the kitchen sink, just sitting there. I mean, there's no way it could have been there before. You never would have missed it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's so, too much. Like, that would push you over the edge.
Yeah, totally. It was, yeah. And on top of that, there was, you know, just this kind of incredible fear. And there's a lot that happened, you know. It's very kind of hard to you know, like, there's so many little things, you know. But there was one night where as this started to happen, that I kind of had fallen asleep, and Caroline was lying in bed, and I sat bolt upright, and as I sat bolt upright, this lights, like, and Caroline reckoned it was some sort of craft, went by the window. So there was all these kind of like things like that had happened, and I was so scared. I was literally in this fetal position some nights, like, you know, and I can remember, you know, Caroline, she wasn't, I couldn't let her, if she left the room, she'd have to tell me when she was coming back in, because I felt like I could get taken by something or someone at any moment, at any time. It didn't matter, you know, like.
That's a terrible way to live, isn't it?
Yeah, I was a mess. Like, you know, I was a mess. And
did you feel like you were going crazy? Losing your mind?
Totally. Yeah, I thought I was. Well, that's the thing. I thought I'm having some sort of schizophrenic breakdown or some sort of, you know. And Caroline was like, "No, you're not. I've seen it. You know, like."
That's the silver lining of it all, isn't it? That you were able to have someone there with it.
Because if she wasn't, like, I don't know what would have happened. You know, there's like one morning we woke up and it involved the whole kind of like almost like the Skinwalker Ranch thing. Like, there was this diary that Caroline had, and it was just laying open, like, for us to basically see, and there was all this weird writing in it, and it looked like, you know, some sort of, it was just weird, as though someone, you hear in the paranormal field, like, automatic writing, it looked like that, and Caroline got really upset about that, and I said, "Did you do this?" And, you know, and it was just weird symbols and we couldn't figure out how the hell, like, because it wasn't a diary, actually. It was a lyric book that we had for the band and that. And then all this stuff was scribbled over the top of it that we just didn't know. It just wasn't there the day before. And then overnight it was there. And Caroline got so freaked out about that, she threw it away. And she just, you know, like, she couldn't look at it, you know. I wanted to. But it was weird symbols and it was pretty intense. And then down there there's the Tweed Heads RSL, which is like a really, you know, pretty, you know, staple sort of place between Coolangatta and Tweed Heads. And Caroline's husband came up, and I'm thinking, God, he must think I'm crazy. You know? And anyway, that was Caroline's ex-husband, you know, they were still on great terms. So me and Caroline and Renee went down to the RSL to have dinner. And this is when it just floored me. Like, I just kind of walked in to the pub, and there's this woman behind the bar, and I went to ask for a drink. And this is no word of a lie. Before I could even ask anything, she just looks at me, points at me, and she says, "You're in contact with aliens."
Oh, stop it. Really?
No, that's completely true. Like,
that would have spun you out. Like, just
yeah, totally. To like, and the Renee nth degree. Was right there. Oh, yeah. I, like, took steps back, like, as in, you know, I was, like, pretty shocked, you know, because there was all this strange stuff happening, and I was trying to kind of make sense of it. And then this woman who I'd never met before, working behind the bar, mind you, like, says this to me. And then she says, "I need to talk to him," because I went running off and went, "Oh, this is just, I can't handle this." Like, and yeah, and then she came over and spoke to me and said, "It's okay, and they won't hurt you," and, you know, and she ended up ringing me, and yeah, it was her, she was strange as well, because she rang me and she kind of did something to me to kind of like alleviate my fear, but I never saw her at the pub again. Like, it was like, I just wondered who the hell she was, you know, if she was kind of like, you know, you get these thoughts, you're like, did the other bar members even see her? Like, was she just kind of there to, you know, but like what we talked about, that high, kind of high strangeness.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And my thoughts exactly when it comes to that. But
Yeah.
Holy Mark, you have got quite an interesting life going on. And I can imagine, like, this would genuinely really be the tip of the iceberg that you've shared with us tonight.
Yeah, well, there's more. It's just the thing is that, you know, like, I haven't, for me, you know, there's still a lot of stuff that I don't remember, you know, like what, and I want, you know, I want to go and see Mary again, but I'm kind of, you know, to be honest, I'm scared, you know, like, just because it is terrifying.
Yeah, it is. It would be. And the thing is, you're opening old wounds by doing that. And I always have this kind of a thought process when it comes to the paranormal is that, you know, things kind of get blocked off for a reason. And when you go opening those doors again, it's doors work both ways. You know, you go in and you go out of them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm always very cautious when people say they want to do things, because I always say, you know, doors are entries and exits. So just be mindful.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's more that happened. But, you know, how much time we got?
Well, mate, I think we should probably tee up another time to get you on, because okay. I knew before we kind of started this might happen. But Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to share those encounters with me. They are, you know, they're very profound and very personal. So, you know, I do appreciate you taking the time to share those, because they are incredible.
It's hard to, I mean, I still find it hard to believe, but I mean, I accept it more now, you know, like, and everything's quiet at the moment and has been for a couple of years, but I think that's what happens, you know.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.